Welcome to The Outpouring with Executive Pastor Bob Oliver of the New Covenant Church of Philadelphia.
I want to talk to you today on a subject, alone with the King, sitting at his feet. Alone with the King, sitting at his feet. And what I want to do together, what the Lord wants to do with us together, is have us look in the scripture at some of the patterns of Jesus so that we may adopt them. I don't know about you, but I want to be more like him every day. If I could just have one day all day when I'm like him, that would be better than heaven. And because his riches are inexhaustible and unsearchable, every day of our life we need to grow. We need to grow in grace and in knowledge of him. And there's so many people who know about him, but don't know him intimately. It takes something to know him intimately. And if we are effective as his disciples, everyone we touch will have an invitation to touch and be touched by him intimately. That requires thirst. That requires hunger. It doesn't require repetition. It doesn't require going through motions. In fact, that's the opposite of what's required. Hunger and thirst. Someone sent me something yesterday, and then we'll get into the word that struck me. And they didn't know that this was the message today, but they sent a text, and it said, I forgot who was quoted. In fact, since I have my phone, I can look. This is the power of technology. It said this: in our churches, you can become a Christian without ever becoming a disciple of Jesus. Is that so? And is it because we focus more on membership than on discipleship? Well, we want to have that narrative be not so. There's some things we want to say it is so, but this one we want to say it is not so. When my father, bless his soul, would be emphatic about something, he would say, it is not so. Not good English. He used it out of context all the time. But I'm going to quote my daddy today. It is not so. It is not so. Let's first put up the verses where Jesus often taught in people's homes. We're not going to go through all of them, but I want, if you have your phones, take a picture. If you're taking notes, write them down. Matthew 9, 10 through 13, Mark 3, 20 through 24. You see all of them up there. So I'll give you a moment to take out your phone so you can look at them later. And the heart of our message, and we're going to string some things together because we're looking at patterns. But there was an early second century rabbi by the name of Yotz ben Yoser. Yotz, Y-O-S-E, ben Yoser. And he talked about the practice of learning at the feet of the rabbi. And he wrote, let your house be a meeting place for the rabbis and cover yourself with the dust of their feet and drink in their words thirstily. This will mean more as we go through the text, and we'll come back to that. We'll finish with the dust of his feet. In Scripture, there's something about the dust of his feet, and people in the first century church understood what that meant, and I believe it's important for us to understand what it means. You know, when Jesus sent the 70 out, and he said, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and let your peace return to you. Let's go to a story that takes place in a house where Jesus went, and it's found in Luke 10, 38, 42. And it's two sisters, very familiar. They're sisters of Lazarus. But they approached his presence very differently. And what I get from this, and I hope what you will get, is that two people can be in his presence, and one derive benefit while the other does not. That's a pattern that we want to avoid. But here's what verse 38 says. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So far we know Jesus and his disciples were moving about, probably going house to house. They went into a village, and he was invited into the home of Martha. That's a good thing. We all ought to invite Jesus into our homes. So who invited him in? Martha. What's Martha's sister's name? Mary. My wife's mother is a twin. Her name was Mary. Her twin sister's name was Martha. Not very original, but biblical. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sat at his feet and heard his word. Now, we know we got some information on both sisters so far. Martha invited him in, but Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. There's something about hospitality that is a good thing. We all ought to have hospitality. I love hospitality. I love entertaining at our home, but my wife makes certain that everything is in order. Like, she is a wonderful, wonderful host. Like, every little detail. But what I've noticed is that causes stress. And she's like, Bobby, why do I have to do everything? I'm like, you don't have to. It's already good. I'm looking at the food, the house, like, what else? But for her, it has to be just so. And I think she's like, why are you so relaxed? You need to join the party. I'm like, I will as soon as the people get here. My focus is in a different place. But we all enjoy it more because of her labor. Are you with me? Okay, that's connected to something. But Martha was distracted. She invites Jesus into her home, and she's distracted. Her sister doesn't invite him in, but she's sitting at his feet and hearing his word. She was distracted with much serving. We'll come back to that in a moment, because I don't want anybody to say, when you serve, that's a distraction. Nah. That's not what the text means. We'll come back to that in a moment. Get that out of your mind. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Lord, I need you to give a commandment to her. I need you to tell her to help me. Now, she is the one who invited him in. Why didn't she sit at his feet? Do you think she loved him? Absolutely. So that means even though I love him, I could be distracted. Now, in this instance, she was distracted with much serving. But I want to tell you something. Maybe it's never happened to you, but I can tell you from experience, I've been distracted doing nothing. I've been distracted being all by myself. There are times I get up with great intentions. Early in the morning, the Spirit wakes me up, I go to the Word. And there are times when the Spirit said, you didn't even hear that. Maybe because I'm groggy. Maybe because there's something on my mind. And then, by conviction, I read it again. And then I read it again because I want to get it. I don't want to be distracted. I'm not serving. I'm worshiping. I'm seeking his word. But because of the thoughts of my mind and because of other things, I'm distracted. Some of you might be distracted right now. Not just the serving. She happened to be distracted with much serving, but that's not the only thing that distracts us. Our mind can go to a place. Do you know anyone in your life who have times when they're physically present but emotionally absent? Is there anybody who understands that it's hard to have a relationship that is meaningful, that is deep, that is intimate with someone who is physically present and emotionally absent? There are many children who are scarred because their fathers were physically present and emotionally absent. When we're in the presence of the Lord, we ought to be all in. We ought to be present with him, sitting at his feet to hear his word. In our minds, intellectually, that sounds like a no-brainer, but doing it is rare because many things come to distract us, and often, let's keep going. The text will shine some more light. Jesus answered and said to her, if he has to say your name twice, pay attention. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled. I want you to think about this. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in her house by her invitation. And she's worried and troubled. I feel like standing up and coming close to somebody. You don't need to be worried and troubled if Jesus is there, especially if you invite him, he's gonna come. And if he's there, trust him. Trust him. Sit at his feet. You can talk to him about anything. Anything, even if you have trust issues, you can trust him. He won't betray you. He won't fail you. He won't let you down. He won't judge you. He won't condemn you. He will listen to you and open his arms wide. He's even knocking. He said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone opens the door and lets me in, I will come and sup with them. In other words, I'll commune with you. Being alone, sitting at the feet of the King Can you imagine if King Charles walked in here? He's not even the king of the United States. He's the king of the United Kingdom. But if he walked in here, there would be a caravan before him. And when he came in, we would give him honor. Do you think we would give him honor? But I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And though he be invisible to your eyes, you can feel him. Pastor Juan Go, it's like the wind. I can't see the wind in the fall, but I can see the leaves blowing. So I know that the wind is there. I pray that he would blow. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be encumbered with many things. I want you, Lord, and I want more of you. Give me all that I can handle. And when I digest that, give me more. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. You promised that whoever hungers and thirsts after righteousness, you will fill them. And you are my righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. There is no righteousness apart from you. Come, Lord, come to my house. Come in my car. Come to my job. Come to the church. Come to Wawa with me. Everywhere I go, when I'm walking down the street, would you come with me? Lord, I don't want to be distracted. I want to be in you, because in your presence, there is fullness of joy. I can't worry when I'm in you and I'm focused. But God, there are many things that come to distract me. Distraction is like temptation. Distraction is a type of temptation. God wants us to focus. He wants us to be all in. That's why David, a man who was after God's own heart, said, early in the morning, you'll hear my voice. And you're not gonna hear me groggy. I'm gonna wake up. If you have to put some cold water on your face, do what you need to do to give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords your undivided attention. Here is what I've learned in my walk with him. When I pay attention, Woody, I hear him everywhere. In so many things, God wants to give us revelation in the little things. If we only pay attention, if we only pay attention, let's keep going through the patterns, and God willing, it's going to all come together. Did we finish that last verse, verse 41? You are worried and troubled about many things. We didn't do the last three words. So worried and troubled, she was doing one thing. She was serving, right? And the verse says she was distracting with much serving. But see, Jesus knows us so well. He said, you're worried and troubled about many things. Many things. That sounds to me like someone who has some type of anxiety. Like there are different types of anxiety, and it happens to the best of us. There's social anxiety. When I get around people, I'm uncomfortable. I'm fidgety. I feel like I need to withdraw. There's a type of anxiety that comes on you sudden. It's like an acute attack. Where, like, literally, you can't breathe, you get afraid, like, you honestly think you're gonna die. It impacts your heart rate, et cetera. That's not what he's talking about here, because she's serving, but her focus is not on him or even just the serving. How do we know that? Because she's like, make her do it too. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to her, not that again. Let's go to 43. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. She got the two times. You are worried and troubled about many. That's the same verse. I'm sorry, let's go ahead. But one thing, she didn't get the two times. I saw the two times. and I said it two times. Did you get that? Somebody say two times. But one thing is needed. You're worried about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. I don't know about you, but I want that good part. Because that good part, Rita, can never be taken away. My job can be taken away. Money can be taken away. My house can be taken away. Car can be taken away. Even my children who I love can be taken away. But there's a part that we share with him, that good part, that time sitting at his feet. What we glean from that shall not be taken away. And because she chose it, even though her sister asked Jesus to take it away, it wouldn't happen. I want you to know, and her sister didn't mean her any harm, but not everybody loves us who wants the good part to be taken away. What Jesus wants us to know is that when you choose that good part, there's no devil in hell that can take it away. There's something that God wants to impart to us that shall never be taken away because it's found in him. And he's never lost a battle. There's nobody stronger than him. There's nobody greater than him. Lord, I'm weak, but you're strong. God, I'm tired, but you never slumber. You never sleep. God, I'm confused, but you know all things well. God, I don't understand, but you know all about it. Whatever we lack, he's full of. He's full of. So in the areas of your life that you feel lacking, in the seasons of your life when you feel inadequate, those are the times to choose that good part, to sit at the master's feet and to hear his word. God told me to tell you, 40 minutes on a Sunday is not enough. Because oftentimes, we're hearing the person who's speaking and not him. If the words that proceed out of my mouth are not his word, you ought to close your ears. Not just me, but anybody. What we want is to hear from him. We desire, and that's why we lay before him. And it's for all of us. And that quote that in our churches, people can become Christians without being disciples of Jesus Christ. Every one of us are disciples of Jesus Christ. That was his plan. As we go deeper, you're going to see his strategy is for all time, but it requires his people in every generation to understand it and to do it, because if not, we begin to do our own thing. And when we do our own thing, it cannot last, because only what you do for the king will last, because he's from everlasting to everlasting. Can we keep going? So the first pattern is that Jesus, for those taking notes, often taught in people's houses. You ready for the next pattern? All right, let me ask you a question. Should I just read the text and then you, when you see what the pattern is, you tell me? How about that? Just shout out. Y'all with that? Okay. Let's go to the next pattern. Matthew 5:1-2. And seeing the multitudes, this is the Sermon on the Mount, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Verse 2. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, I'm going to tell you something. It's not the pattern, but it's interesting that Jesus saw a whole multitude. The multitude was so vast that he couldn't stay horizontal with them. He went up to a mountain and he sat down. And then once his disciples came, he opened his mouth and he taught them. See, some people Jesus talks to, some people he teaches. He teaches those who come to sit at his feet. Every one of them heard him, but some of them were taught by him. I'm getting to the edge of my seat. I'm about to stand up. That's it. Sit down. But I want to be taught of him. I want to learn of him. I don't want to just hear him. There are people who hear him and walk away, and they're not doers of his word because they haven't been taught. They're like a person who looks in the mirror, and when they walk away, they forget what their image looks like. He saw the multitude, but when his disciples came, he sat down. What did he do? He sat down. Okay, let's look again. This time, you might see the pattern. If not, the next one, you'll see it. If you don't, I'm gonna have to tell you. Don't do that. I want y'all to see it. You ready? Next one is Luke 4, 20 and 21. Luke 4 and 20 said, then he closed the book. See, to us, it's not a book, it's a scroll. But in those days, a scroll was a book. And gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. There's a reason all the eyes were on him after he sat down. Now, the people, as he read the scroll from Isaiah, they all were looking and listening. It was a part of the service. You know, you go through the service like we do in church, in the synagogue, they were going through. Jesus did everything right. He got the scroll handed to him. He gave it back to the attendant, and then he sat down. And now watch the shift. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. After he sat down, he was reading when he stood up. But when he sat down, he told them prophetically what they just heard. And it got them so angry that they wanted to throw him off a cliff. What is it about the truth that makes people bristle? He told them something that should have made them rejoice. Today, this is fulfilled. Y'all been hearing Isaiah all your life in this synagogue. I'm telling you, today is fulfilled in your hearing. And they say, who do you think you are, you blasphemer? They went to the cliff to throw him off. He walked right in the middle of them. Nobody touched him because his time was not yet. Do you see the pattern yet? You see it? Come on, somebody talk to me. Come on. Joe, that's it. Sit it. And see, that's why I'm sitting today. Jesus, when he taught, he sat down. Today, in contemporary Christendom, we stand because the most popular form, and I don't mean popular as in celebrity, but the most frequent form of preaching is expository preaching, where you take a text and you exposit, you exegete, you break it down. But today, I want to be like him. And see, the rabbis would sit, and that's why they called Jesus Rabbi. But they noticed something. when they saw him multiple times, they say he's different from the other rabbis because his word is with authority. See, the rabbis, Pastor Wango, always quoted someone. Jesus said, today is fulfilled in your hearing. Like, the most rabbis would tell you what Isaiah said. Jesus said, I'm here to tell you I'm the fulfillment of this. This is about me. You talk about it through the lens of the prophet, but I'm telling you, I'm here. The king is here. I'm here to fulfill this in your hearing. And they could not handle that. This next one is going to be easy because y'all got it. Y'all broke the code in the middle. Let's go to Mark 4 and 1. And then we're going to go to the next pattern. And again, he began to teach. The posture of teaching of the rabbi is to sit. He began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat. And what did he do? He sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. As a 21st century preacher, I would ordinarily see this as his pulpit, because everything's a pulpit. If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But when we understand the origins of what it meant in his time and what it was communicating, it gives us greater insight. And I don't know about you, but I want to be like him. And that's why when Mary came to the tomb, the same Mary Magdalene, who was in the house with her sister, who chose the best part. And after his resurrection, and he was walking, and he revealed himself to her, the first words out of her mouth were, Rabboni, Rabboni, Rabbi. It means teacher, it means scholar, one who's learned. Remember when Jesus was 12 years old and his family left him for 3 days and before they realized he wasn't there? Mary, what kind of mother are you? Your boy's gone for 3 days, and now you realize, we got to go back and get Jesus. But anyway, that's another. They have nothing to do with this. But they marvel because all of the rabbis were listening to him. See, they didn't know that they were sitting at the feet of the king. He was only 12 years old, but he knew more than they knew. I pray that our children would have more knowledge than their teachers. May the dust of his feet cover them. May they have more understanding than all of their teachers. His pattern was, he would go in the house, sit down, and they sat at his feet. He would go in open air, and he would sit down. Sat down on the mountain, sat down on the sea, in land or in sea, in open air, he sat down. And the people sat at his feet. We're going somewhere with this. Keep going? All right, y'all encouraging me. So now, let's get to the next pattern. And we're getting to the heart of what it means to be alone with the king sitting at his feet. Somebody say, being alone, sitting at his feet. And I want you to know there's a difference between being alone and being by yourself. We don't often think about it, but we'll see it in the text. And when, verse Mark 4 and 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. Leave that up for a moment. Were any of them by themselves? Yet they were alone with him. You can be alone with him right now. I want you to know that I love all of you, but right now I'm alone with him because I need to hear him, because I can't tell you what he said if I'm distracted by the faces that I'm looking at, or if I'm caught up in the applause or the amen. I want to be alone with him. You ought to want to be alone with him. And there are moments when we can be all by ourselves in our secret closet and still be distracted because our mind is racing and we're thinking about something else. I want to beseech you by the mercies of God today, sit at his feet and hear his word. You can be alone with him in the open air. I'm going to show you something by personal testimony that God taught me, that I can be alone with him in the park. And those are some of the best times in open air. He taught often in open air, and it had purpose, just like me sitting down. Permission from the congregation to walk for a minute to illustrate something. Granted? Come on, let me hear it with a loud voice. So I want to tell you something about the open-air ministry of the rabbis. This Yos ben Yozers, the early second century rabbi, gives us more information. He said that those who had disciples, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, they all had disciples, and they taught them. And they had this custom, but they got it from the rabbis. I would to God that the world would get stuff from the church. I would to God that hip-hop would follow gospel more than gospel follows hip-hop. But when I listen to lyrics, I think it's perverted today. When I listen to the beat, I think it's perverted today. God, take us back to the day where the people of God would lead the way and others would follow. But here's the point. Whenever disciples would walk behind their teacher, specifically, let's stay with the rabbi would walk in front and the disciples would be behind them. You get the picture? And in the streets of Jerusalem, first century Palestine, the roads were dusty. So the more they followed the rabbi, they'd be covered with the dust of his feet. And after a while, the dust of his feet would be all over them, would be all over them. And see, this is a pattern. Even in Acts, Paul, when he was telling his testimony, he said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. But see, the feet of Gamaliel, you got a lot of wisdom. He was educated in Alexandria. He was very, very learned, and so was Paul. But Paul still persecuted the church. It wasn't until he started to walk on a road called Damascus, and from the sky, he heard a voice that blinded him and knocked him off the beast. And after that, he went to Arabia for 3 years. And I can see Paul following Jesus in the dust of his feet, covering him. And after that, Paul never persecuted the church again. He learned the truth. Even though Gamaliel was brilliant, he wasn't the king. He wasn't the king. I want the dust of his feet to cover me. Let the dust of his feet cover me. Because from dust we came, and dust we will return. There's something significant about dust. It's not just dirt. The dust of the earth is who God formed us from. But when they would follow the rabbis, they would be covered by the dust of their feet. And that's why Jesus said, if someone doesn't receive you and they reject you, shake the dust off your feet. because that dust is valuable. That dust is what you got from me. What was on me is now on you. And let that get on them. If they don't want it, shake the dust off your feet. Don't leave any dust for them. They don't deserve the dust of my feet. Oh my God, let me sit back down. Say, Lord, cover me with the dust of your feet. Okay, now I'm not gonna stand up anymore. Why am I breathing like this? It's the anointing. Yeah, Spirit say, boy, sit down. Mark 4, 33 and 34. Now this one, this is the only one on this third pattern, so you gotta get it now. You ready? Now you gotta connect it to Mark 4 and 10 to see the pattern. And Mark 4 and 10 said, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12, so it was more than the 12. Now let's go to Mark 4, 33 and 34. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. Verse 34. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. So he spoke parables. They didn't understand the word he was saying. But he explained it, Deshaun, when they were alone. Xavier, when they were in the crowd, they heard it. They were probably like, what is he saying? They're asking each other, what is he saying? You understand? Nah, I don't know. I don't know. But when they were alone with him, they got it. What's the pattern? I heard somebody say it. When they were alone, being alone with the king, sitting at his feet. So you see the alone part? So I said earlier, there's a difference between being alone and being by yourself. It's subtle, it's not obvious, but I hope in those two verses you can see there were the 12 and there were other people, yet the text said they were alone with him. What makes alone time with Jesus? We learn something from Mary, and that is she sat at his feet and she heard his word. She sat at his feet and she heard his word. It's okay to sing and to worship, to invoke the presence of the Spirit, but it's nothing like being alone with him and hearing his word, because the word that he speaks, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. When my life isn't what it ought to be, when I hear his word, he infuses me with brand new life. When I'm feeling melancholy in my emotions, his word is spirit. Spirit and life. And God is a spirit. Let's land the plane. And you know how we're going to land it? By going up. And it's something that God spoke to me literally on a plane. It wasn't the first time, but he made it plain. He made it plain. He made it clear to me. It's found in the book of Nahum, a minor prophet, and there's nothing minor about the prophets. nothing minor, but he's an obscure prophet, Nahum 1 and 3. Nahum 1 and 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and the storm. When the winds blow and when the storm rages, I want you to remember that God has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. I have never, for at least the last decade, especially when I was doing a lot of traveling, I never went up and ascended to the clouds and didn't worship, because I see the purity of God. The clouds are the dust of his feet. But recently, I was sitting on a tarmac, and the Spirit of God began, and the plane was full, but I was alone with him. And I began to hear God, and I, with stammering lips and other tongues, not out loud, I began to speak. And I began not to weep, but my eyes, like they are now, get watery. That's what happens to me. I mean, I can relate to Jeremiah, who the Bible says was the weeping prophet. But the person, I'm looking at the person next to me, and I'm thinking, I don't know what you think, but I know what I'm sensing. I ain't got time for that. You try to figure it out. And I'm sitting at the window, and I'm looking up. It was a clear day, and I see the clouds. It's the first time that I hadn't taken off, and God was saying, the clouds are the dust of his feet. And he said to me, take out your camera. So I took out my phone. I took one picture, and I went back to being alone with him, and we took off. We started, take out your phone again. He had me do it 3 or 4 times. I want to share with you what God shared with me in that moment, and I pray that it will change or transform your open air opportunities to be alone with God. You can be on a park bench full of children running, and you can be alone with him. And you can be covered with the dust of his feet, because the clouds are the dust of his feet. Let's put up the first picture. So this is me on the tarmac. And the Spirit of God was speaking to me already. And this, at this point, he says, take out your phone. So you see how blue and pretty the sky is? You see the clouds? And I'm talking to God, and God is talking to me. So then I put it away, because you know how you can sense eyes on you? There used to be a song. I always feel like somebody's watching me. Come on, y'all know that song. Don't act like you only know Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. So I'm looking at that, and he says, take it out. Let's go to the next one. So now I'm elevated. So look beneath. You see what I saw when I was looking up. But as we sit at his feet and we go higher, we get to another level in him. Now I'm looking up, and it's covered. I see more dust. The clouds are the dust of his feet. I don't want to just sit on the ground and look up and see dust that's scattered. I want to go up. I want to go up. Yeah, Lord, take me higher. He said to John on the Isle of Patmos, come up hither, and I'll show you things that you know not of. God is saying to somebody, come up higher. Come up hither means to come up higher. And by now, I'm really forgetting about all the people around me. The plane is, and I'm telling you, I'm now in the spirit. And I put my phone away because I just want to worship. But he wants me to sit at his feet. And again, I turn the phone off. And you know, you get to a certain altitude, you have to either put it on airplane mode or turn it off. I never put mine on airplane mode. I shouldn't say never, but rarely. So don't y'all judge me. You know why? Because I turn it all the way off. If I turn it off, I don't need to. But that day, I left it on, and we went up. I said, if it's a problem, the pilot will let me know. And now you see what's below and what's beneath. Let's look at the next picture. Now, the one that I saw from the ground, I can't even see anymore, but the thing that was covering my, what was above my head, I'm now above it. And it's like, now I realize, and God is telling me, that there are levels to this thing. And the more you sit at my feet, so now we're at the open air, the higher you will go. You can't get to this altitude by just casually. You gotta sit at my feet. And I put the phone down again. And he said, take it out. Take another picture. And I can't make this up. I don't walk around just taking pictures of clouds. God did this. And then he took me back to Nahum. Now let's go to the next one, which I believe is the last one. Now, from here, you see the blue sky above? We've ascended above all the clouds. And you see the thickness of the clouds is such that you, it's so dense, there's nothing between them. And he said, now, what do you see? And I realized I'm sitting in my seat, and I realized for the first time in all four of those shots that the dust of his feet are under my feet. I had to get to that level for the dust of his feet to get under my feet. Permission to stand again? So what that means, as I follow him, the dust that was on him, that's on me, will come on anyone who's following. Just like the rabbis, their followers had the dust on them. And what that represents is a thirst for him. The objective when we come together on Sunday is for you to be thirsty for him. The church ought to be a thirst trap. See, the world have thirst traps that are to seduce you. Some of y'all know what a thirst trap is. Don't look down, don't look away. But I'm talking about a spiritual thirst trap that makes you thirsty for him. You're so thirsty that you just want to sit at his feet. And then when I realize that the clouds are the dust of his feet, and the more I sit at his feet, the higher I go. If I'm sitting in the park and people are all around, I can be alone with him. Because being alone with him doesn't mean, Sister Green, being by yourself. It means being occupied and focused on him. I was on a plane full of people, probably many of them ungodly, but God was showing me something that I didn't know of. May the dust of his feet be under your feet. And may you never forget that the clouds are the dust of his feet. When you walk out of this place today, you look up. The sun is out a little bit, but the clouds, know that you're under his feet. And may the dust of his feet cover all of us so that everyone who we disciple becomes thirsty for him. It's about him. Last thing I want to say, and we're going to show one last verse, that the strategy of the rabbis was to make disciples. Jesus took, no doubt, heaven planted that in them. And when Jesus came, he took it to another level. And it's lasted for 2,024 years. But on the first day of Pentecost, when 120 of them were obedient, and they went and the Spirit of God fell, on that day, Peter opened his mouth. Peter was always talking, but on that day he got results. 3,000 souls were saved. And because they were taught daily about him, they became disciples and they had all things in common. They said, I don't want to be nowhere else. I want to be with God and his people. I want to learn of him. They sold everything they had and they came together. And the Bible said that God added to the church daily such as should be saved. The point of being in church is salvation. The point of discipleship is people learning of him. The point of learning of him is to be more like him. And if the church loses that point, we've missed the point. It's about him. I want to be alone with him. I'd rather be alone with him than be alone with my lovely wife. And I love being alone with her, but nobody compares to Jesus. There's nobody like him. There's nobody who can meet my needs like him. The pilot who has the wisdom to keep that plane in the air could not have ministered to me like Jesus did. Can't nobody do you like Jesus? We ought to commit ourselves to being alone with the King. And once he showed me that I could be outside in open air and alone with him, I'm like, God, what separates me from you? Nothing. 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 Somebody say with me, the clouds are the dust of his feet. Let's stand together. Put up the last verse, please. No. The last set of scriptures, not the actual. Yeah, thank you. What's the first word? Everybody say it together. Come. What has come to you? It's an invitation, right? It's an invitation. Martha invited him into her house, but yet she didn't come because she was distracted by many things. Distraction is something we need to learn how to get under control. And because she was distracted, even though he was present, she was worried and troubled by many things. When God showed me this, I'm like, Lord, I want to worry less and I want to be troubled less. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to have trouble, but I don't have to be troubled. You can have trouble, but you are not troubled. Do you understand? Do you really understand? So the first is come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I don't know about you, but there are times I'm so exhausted. I'm like, God, I don't know if I can continue. And I'm like, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I promise you, when I ask him, it's as if a burden is lifted. Because he will never ask us to do something that he doesn't go before us and he doesn't carry the burden with us. He says, you are heavy laden. No, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He promised rest if you come. And if you come to him, and as we labor and as we're burdened by the labor, we need to come. That's another invitation to sit at his feet. When I'm confused about something, when I feel mistreated and I come to him, just like he did for those who are alone with him, he explains everything. I promise you, if you're thinking about things wrong, he'll lead you to repentance, he'll give you peace, and that relationship will be repaired, because oftentimes it's in here and it's in the atmosphere, it's not even the intent of the other party. You can never, ever be led astray or misdirected if you sit at the master's feet. And there are levels to this thing. Let's go to verse 29. He says, take my yoke. Do you know what rabbi literally means? The literal Hebrew meaning is master. Master. And you know who places yokes? Masters. Some of them place yokes on people. But masters who own lands place it on beasts of burden. Beasts of burdens. Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It's not enough just to be yoked up with him. He said, learn from me, because what you're gonna learn is my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He showed me something in this text that I hadn't thought about, even though it's very familiar. And that is, if you're laboring and you're burdened, it's not his labor. You need to learn something, because it's not his burden, because his burden is light. If what I'm carrying is heavy, instantly I ought to know it's not him. And I understand that now, but it hadn't been that long, because I have been encumbered with many things. I was trained in the church to serve, and in serving, that brings me closer to God. It does not. It does not. I have a responsibility, but that, here's what Jesus said to his disciples when they said, we've given up everything. Our houses, our lands, we left our loved ones. And he said, you've done all those things. And after you've done it, consider yourself unprofitable servants. In other words, what you're doing is not adding to the kingdom. The service is for your sake and for those who I'm calling into the kingdom. Don't think that that makes you special. And the devil wants us to believe that because of our position, because of our title, that makes us different. On a macro level, when God looks at Philadelphia, he sees one church. Today, we're gonna get together, it might be 50 churches, 50 different places of worship, but it's one church. When God looks at us, he sees one body. He doesn't see me up here and you down there. And I believe that's why today he wanted me to sit down. There's a principle in leadership that when you want to connect with people and have them see you eye to eye, you sit down. To stand is an authoritative position. You're now lording over them. Then why do we do expository preaching? I don't know. I didn't invent it. I just came into it. It was an inheritance. But the rabbi sat down. And they all, and the philosophers of Jesus' day, the Greek philosophers, learned discipleship from the rabbis. But Jesus brought it into fullness. And so we need to learn it from him. And if we do, the church will turn the world upside down, because it will not be about us, it'll be about him. In all things, For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There remains a rest for the people of God. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where more than anything, I need rest, because rest will revive you. It will refresh you. And rest is not just sleep, Ravella, because there used to be a time when I tried to find rest in sleep, and I would sleep so much it would make me tired. A lot of people nodding their head. Have you ever been there? Sleep is not the answer. It brings more of that which will distract you. It zaps you of your energy. So I want to be energized. I want to be revived. I want to be full of His Spirit and full of His glory and growing in grace and in the knowledge of Him. And the way to get that good part is by sitting at His feet. Let us pray. Lord, may the dust of your feet cover us. And may we be disciples who follow you and make disciples. And as you allow us to lead and to walk out front, may the dust that's on our feet be the dust of your feet. And may many learn of you. May many thirst after you. May many develop a hunger for you. Deliver us from the days and times where we go through the motions, where we are casual, where we receive the word when another speaks it. We need to hear from you. Stir us. Let there be a stirring that causes transformation in all of our hearts, with me first and with all of us together. For there are levels to you, and we want to go higher. Take us to the next level, no matter where we are. If we're on the ground, on the tarmac, may we look up and see the dust of your feet. And as we move up in altitude, may we ascend till we get to the place where it's under our feet. We give you glory. We honor you as King. We serve you as Lord. We love you as the Christ who took away the sins of the world. You're still taking them away, and you're using us. So release us into greater works. Greater works. Greater works than these we shall do, because you have gone to the Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and by Him we give thanks. Put your hands together and give God a hand clap. Come on, give God a praise. You're under His feet right now.
Thank you for joining us in service today. We pray that this ministry has been a blessing to you and your family. To give your gift of love and help keep this ministry on the air, visit nccop.church/giving for all of the ways that you can donate to the ministry. Thank you so much for your generosity, and God's blessings until we meet again.